When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
This is the Texas Trust for Public Broadcasting. You've been listening to an audio transcript of Gunsmoke. And now a new program, Paint With Me, hosted by former President George W. Bush.
How you doing, folks? I'm President George W. Bush. We got the easel right here. This is a canvas that you paint on. Got a little brush. You just dip it in here. So we're just going to dab here, and you just probably want to paint. You start out with a nice blue sky. I like a blue sky. Need a little bit of green in there. Paint some brush. And then maybe there's some folks around, just some people. I'm painting. I remain confident. I remain satisfied with what it looks like. Right now, there's just a blob. I think maybe there should be some light. The sky is clear. And at this point, you want to start to paint in, I don't know, beautiful cityscape. You want to start to paint in stuff that's out there. A city that might be scared. Maybe it's a little bit too liberal. All kinds of colors go into it. And it's morning time. You got light coming up. And you start to see, what does that look like? There's a couple of buildings, some big towers. And look at that. You just paint it. If you paint, then that's what painting is. We're starting to see some towers. There's a couple of ones that are bigger than the other ones. They're nice and gray, but sometimes the light hits them and there's when light hits something, it becomes light. That's what our science understands. So now we got these towers coming up, and there's a whole bunch of people. They're just showing up to work. You could draw them. They could look like a happy little people. But if from a certain distance and a certain level of power, any kind of individual person, you don't need to care what they actually look like or what their lives are all about. They're just dots. Here's little sticks, whatever they're doing. It doesn't matter if they keep doing it or if they're, oops, something happens. Maybe they're not going to do it much longer. As long as it's for a bigger cause. And as long as nobody knows how it happened. So now we've got these big towers, morning time, all these people showing up. And then, uh-oh, a couple of planes, rip, zip. Bam, 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 bam. Now you're going to put blood, orange, big pile of smoke. You definitely want to have the defense fighter pilot planes. They're coming to save the day. You got Air Force. And Air Force has airplanes. But you're going to tell them to stand down. So those planes actually don't do anything. They come in, but then you just kind of swipe them out and they turn around. So you put little arrows. They go back out. They let it keep happening. And then the towers, oop. Uh-oh. Towers come down. And there's going to be tremendous smoke. Some of it's going to be radioactive. And you're not going to want people to ask too many questions about that. So you want to, then you want to dip in a different kind of paint here, and then it's going to start covering up what happened. And we're going to make sure that we go back and redo the towers falling down, but this time they fall. Look, it could have happened to anybody. Uh-oh, maybe the towers fell down the stairs. You draw some stairs, and the towers fell down. What you're drawing is excuses. Nobody's going to ask no question. You're president. You're president of paint. And then what you draw in after that, there's a bunch of people crying and screaming, and uh-oh, some of them died. Now we're going to draw in a new regime of power. And that involves, here it is, draw a little eagle up in the sky, and then a circle around it, and the eagle's holding on to some pencils in its legs, or he's grabbing some claws. Pencils and claws. And then he drew, so there it is, Homeland Security. He's an eagle. There's always an eagle in a circle. And now all the people down there, whatever survived, whatever of them, they start doing whatever the eagle tells them. So where there was once tower, now there is power. Now it's just fun. You start having horns come out of the smoke figures. And then you're maybe off in the way background, there's the sun. And the sun sees through it all. You just draw the sun. He's orange. He's got eyes that never stop looking at you. And his eyes are scary. Just make the dots in the eyes and they stare. They stare. They see exactly what happened, but it's the sun. What's it going to do? So there's the sun and it's crying. And it's looking at this up, down, upside down. And it just looks like a whole, it's a sunshiny nightmare. And that's just, I mean, that's just, to me, that's art. And you leave it a little bit raw. You don't explain everything. It's just up there. And then, I don't know, just for fun on the way out, here, get a little bit of red paint. Just throw it at the canvas. That ought to teach some motherfuckers. And you can make more. You can, if you wake up screaming, what did I do? What did I do? Make a painting. 3 a.m., make a painting. If it's noon and you hadn't slept in 40 hours, make a painting. If you sleep, great. Wake up and paint it again. You can always just paint it, put it in there. And now it's fine. It looks like a nightmare, but it looks like the truth. And you can sell something like this for $500,000. Somebody down at the golf course, they got money like that. See if you can make a painting like this and go sell it. Anyway, join us next time. We will be, maybe we'll be drawing Fallujah. Bye.
Wow, there it is. That was Painting with George W. Bush from his Unheard Texas Public Broadcasting show. That was originally played on episode 5 of The Underculture. And that was your second favorite cold open of the year, as decided by our poll on our Patreon page, patreon.com/theunderculture. You brave and courageous listeners voted on your favorite cold open segments, your favorite one-on-one interview segments, and your favorite songs that we've played on The Underculture. Those three different types of segments that we've run that have come into our possession. And so we're taking a winter hiatus and we're playing, we're mashing up and mixing some of those moments, cold open, interview, and song, as voted on by you. So this week, here's an interview that you voted as your second favorite interview from The Underculture in 2019. It's WTF with Marc Maron, and he's interviewing his guest, Rip Taylor, as played, of course, by the hilarious Sam Pancake.
Lock the gates!
Yeah, what the fuck, what the fuckers? It's Maron. We're here in the Cat Ranch. And this week we got a guest, and it's been somebody we've been trying to get for a while. I'm intimidated. We have a conversation. We sit down with Rip Taylor. A lot of people requested over the years that I get into some of the older comedy names. Rip Taylor's one that's just, he's an intimidating guy. I never liked him. We had some issues back in the day, but then we ran into each other. I just thought, you know, maybe it's time to work it out.
Hi, so, Mark.
Here he is. Rip, welcome to the Cat Ranch.
Am I on yet?
You're in the garage. You're on. You're hot.
Look at my ears. Princess Leia. Oh, I knew her mother, Debbie Reynolds. She got me started in Miami Beach in the Fontainebleau back in 1951. Where am I? Nurse, change me. I'm wet.
Yeah, man. All right. So you're in the Cat Ranch. This is the garage. You're talking about Princess Leia. You got, that's the cans. It's a podcast, man.
Oh, yeah. I know the cans, honey. I've been back since ham radio with bacon radio. Oh,
fantastic. So let me ask you this. You're on. It seems like you're on. Like you're always on. Is that the way it is? There's no offstage Rip Taylor?
Honey, I'm on so many pills. If you shake me, I rattle. Yes, I'm on.
You're throwing confetti. Now you've got confetti throwing in the room. You came in with the confetti and everything. Okay.
Wow.
You're not seeing this, but he made the entrance. He did the Rip Taylor entrance.
Happy days are here. They didn't have my music. Usually I come out to Happy Days Are Here.
I didn't want to play the music. I asked for it. I said no, because I thought maybe that would forestall the stage entrance as when we're having a real conversation with person to a person.
No, no, I come from the legends. I come from decades of showbiz royalty, and I like to enter with a band, and then I say, hey, stop it, you got the job already, it's one of my bits. What do you think about this coat? It looks like I raped Big Bird.
Now,
secrets.
It's all you wore that intentionally. Is that the joke? Let me ask you this about your process, since apparently all we're going to see here is your process.
Hey, everybody. This is the B-Man, old BW from the World Record Podcast. And I'm here to let you know that me and my co-host, the A-Train, a.k.a. Hershey Hellman, took over Office Hours Live this week. We came into the studio. We made it our own. We wrecked the place. I stole one of Tim Heidecker's guitars. So check out Office Hours Live on your podcast app of your choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live this week and see what happens. Or go to worldrecordpodcast.com and you can watch the videos or join the Patreon, patreon.com/worldrecordpodcast. Enjoy the show!
It's showtime!
When you wear a joke like that, and is it intentional because you have the rape the Big Bird joke that you were able to set it up? Is it like a costume prop?
Well, yeah, I do. I come in with the props and I did not invent prop comedy. Now people think I did. There's that.
Who are your guys?
A Carrot Top, that son of a bitch. Well, they're old folks. Yeah. You probably don't.
You got beef with Carrot Top?
Dead for years. Carrot Top stole my act.
If you got beef with Carrot Top, it sounds kind of like a Carrot Stew. I'm trying to do some of your type of humor now.
Well, you're getting in there. I'm gonna write that down. Put me and Carrot Top on a stage together. You're going to get a Denty Morris beef stew.
Okay, he's pulling out a feather pen to write down the
that'll
joke.
That'll make you fart tickle.
It's tickle. You got a gilded joke book? Is that how you go?
Yes, that's right. It's fully gilded. It's etched in gold. It was given to me by my dear friend Carol Channing. Do you want to see a picture of her?
I know what Carol Channing looks like. She looks like a Muppet that didn't make the show. She looks like a Muppet that was cut.
Oh, you're good. This kid's good.
So who are your guys?
My guys,
I don't know much about you. I came from. Let me about myself. I came from basically. I've been a comic. I'm a comic. I was a store. Angry, you know, my issues. Divorced.
Angry,
and I thought it couldn't get worse. And then it's this.
That's
funny. We first met, and we actually clashed. We first met on Conan because I held the record for the most Conan appearances. And then it's an interesting fact. I didn't realize this because I didn't come from a place where I respected you. You were actually the second most frequent Conan guest.
I sure was. I came in the first time. I said, Conan, where's my ice cream?
Now, to be fair, I was doing 5-minute sets, 10-minute sets, couch bits, panel. You always came on to do the same thing, just basically as a punchline, throwing the confetti.
Yeah, well, I get the paper and the hair because I got the wig on. I came out and said, Conan, is that Conan O'Brien or does someone dip a Q-tip in blood?
But, you know, it feels like the whole act, like you're hiding something. It feels like there's something that you don't want to talk about. This is what you're talking about, the thing.
Are you kidding, man?
Let me ask you this. You get the confetti. People don't laugh. You talk over it. Is there any laughter at all? Is it even comedy? Or is it a crutch? Is it a crutch? And you just keep talking, and instead of laughter, people just look at you.
I'm a beloved performer for decades. I was discovered in Miami Beach by Ms. Debbie Reynolds herself, then Dean Martin. I come from legends, and I'm very grateful and lucky, and you should have more gratitude.
Is that how we're going to remember you, Miami Beach?
Yeah, why don't you get out your six-string guitar and do a folk song, you hippie?
Okay, look, at least I kept the guitar out of the act. The guitar you come after me like this. This is the kind of thing. We got into it backstage at the Conan back in the day in New York.
Well, I came
He threw this confetti in my face. He didn't like it. I said, fuck off.
Well, you kids like you have no sense of humor at all. Confetti's from the... I did a gig on New Year's Eve. Let me tell you a story about me.
I was trying to have beef with you, but you just railroaded right through it.
I'm mad at you, too. I told you. I got plenty of beef. Well, I'll have a liverwurst sandwich up your ass in a minute, you son of a bitch.
Okay, well, hold on a second. You're gonna put a liverwurst. You make that sounds. It sounds like you're a sexual, violent man on man. Is this something we can talk about?
I don't know your fantasy.
Is there anything we can talk about?
Listen, I'll tell you a story about my ex-wife. We had a waterbed in '74. You know, we called it the Dead Sea.
All right, that got me.
My sex
life. It got me, but I don't know because if it's almost like I have an emoticon on the show. It's like having Daffy Duck. I didn't know I got to do the interview like this. It's almost like you're not even a real person.
Honey, Daffy Duck stole my act. That son of a bitch owes me $758.
Where do you perform these days? You're in L.A.? You're in West Hollywood? Do you ever do the store? You do the store?
There's not a room big enough for me in that hellhole. Wee-ho, no thank you.
You almost went wee-ho, no-ho, but then that would just be a plug for a different neighborhood in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and I'm not going to do that because I'm too big for that. Do you know I was a Las Vegas Entertainer of the Year, 74, 75, and 1978.
Don't ask me about
76. Well, I was touring with that bicentennial float.
Who took down Rip Taylor in 76? This is before my time. I was a kid back. Who took down Rip Taylor in 76? What, did the Love Boat take over?
Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet. And let me tell you, those sons of bitches are on my shite list. I'll tell you right now.
I feel like there's a level of references that you've gotten into. It's almost every time you talk, there's like a layer. It's like a thicker and thicker layer of references. It's almost like when a squid puts out like a cloud of ink to avoid talking about any issues you might have. It's just a stream of references that you may have real or imaginary beef with.
Speaking of squid, I opened for Judy Garland for 3 years.
Segue doesn't work, man.
She did her own makeup just like this.
Why does that?
Eyebrow, lip.
What about Judy Garland do you get from the squid? Where does that come from?
The way my mind works is God's own secret mystery. I can't figure myself out, let alone you cute. The spectacle. Right,
see, that's annoying too. Look, I've gone through. I admit that I was homophobic when I was younger, but there's a lot of work that took place. It's not the place I'm coming from now. But you're coming. You're hitting. You should have a life. Go out there. Just be who you are. Who are you?
Homophobic sounds like some sort of invention they had before the telephone. You know. Isn't that what that is? Am I thinking of a homonym? Is that a figure of speech?
Yeah, homonym. You seem to be dancing around something here. Is this a good platform? I thought maybe you were going to come out with some information.
Speaking of dancing.
Is it not my place to say it, but is there something you want to tell the audience that you've maybe kept bottled up for a while?
Sammy Davis Jr. is one of my best friends. Do you understand that? Do you understand what that man had
I understand that you're saying it, but I honestly have doubts that you were best friends with Sammy Davis Jr.
He was
with all the people that he knew? You're telling me that you...
He was a consummate professional and one of my dearest friends.
And what does that have to do... How does that affect your journey? He's one of your guys.
Oh, my God. Did I tell you guys, Mark sent a limo for me this morning for the interview. Thank God it missed.
Yeah, man. This is rough. I got to be honest. This is rough. It feels like you're on. It feels like you're doing... Are you getting up stage time?
Listen.
Where are you going up?
Speaking of stage, I got to keep moving because that's how Lincoln got it.
So where are you
from? Just sitting there in the back of the head.
Where did you start? You started in Miami Beach. I'll shout the questions, and I guess this is just setting you up for, like, material. You can't get a deal at Netflix these days. Did you try to pitch a deal at Netflix?
Honey, I wish I could get some of that Netflix money. Have you seen the inflation lately? Have you seen this inflation?
I don't know if inflation is the thing that you can see physically represented.
What do you see
can,
in the news?
You experience that the currency doesn't go as far.
A tat 2, it's now a tat 3. Things have gone up so much.
All right.
Yeah, pumpernickel bread's pumper dime now. Have you given it a story
lately?
It
fell flat, but it's almost like your joke. None of the jokes work, but you did it so fast. And
honey.
The voice itself. What is the voice? Because it's not. I want to know what your... I don't think it's your real voice, but where did you adopt it?
Yes, it's my real voice.
No one sounds like that.
Listen, here's my process.
Fuck,
I learned back in the day. You got to keep moving. Pick one. I'm going to keep dropping them and throwing them like confetti. You pick up one. Look at this one. I got it in
fuck,
my bag.
Fuck, the cats
right
are going to choke on the confetti. What are you doing?
Do you see this Moses sign?
Okay, you're pulling props. He's got a big purple bag. What is this? What are you looking at?
Moses on it. It's filled with holes.
Why are you... So it's holy Moses.
Yes!
Why are you doing a prop act? You're not even on stage and it's on a podcast, man.
Someone kill the left side over there. Hey, I laughed at you when you walked in.
You the lost generation? I don't want to date you.
I am the best. What do they call us? The best generation? What did Tom Brokaw say?
Yeah, it's the best generation.
That's
Tom
me.
Brokaw. It's a great book. I've got the hardcover. I read half of it.
Listen, you little cheese ball. I'm a veteran of Las Vegas and the Korean War.
The last thing I am is cheese. Okay, you're a veteran.
Speaking of cheese.
That's an interview, Rip.
Honey.
Fuck.
Speaking of cheese.
No, you said it, and it didn't make any sense. And now it's a segue into something else.
You seem to be a very angry young man, but you're cute around the edges. I'm not going to spit on you too soon.
I'm working out my issues. I do have problems with anger. That's what the podcast is for. It's reaching out to people if they're willing to have an honest dialogue, person to person.
Helping you with your issues. What am I, a doctor? Is that why your gown is open in the back, Mark? Ha ha ha!
Rip Taylor, this is honestly one of the most challenging interviews I've had. I guess we're going to put it out.
May I be sincere and vulnerable for a minute?
This is what I've been waiting
for. Jerry Lewis's muscular dystrophy marathon for 17 years. And we raised millions of dollars together.
All right, so now you switch over to maudlin.
But you know what I got in here? What do you think you call this?
Okay.
This bra here. With a D cup and an A cup. I call the odd couple. Boom, boom, boom.
You pulled a bra out of your bag of props. So
see this shit?
The Jerry Lewis telethon was a setup for a bra joke.
I started the paper, the confetti, back in the day because I used to throw hot dogs and marshmallows at the audience and it got too expensive.
Okay, so it sounds like that's a prop. It sounds like it's a prop, but it's a manageable. It's interesting. You got to the confetti. Why? Because it makes people feel good. And they don't necessarily need writing or material or an act or a point of view or anything you would normally expect from a comic.
You know, I carry my jokes around index cards and I rip them at the end. And then I would take the ripped up paper and throw it in the audience.
That's where the origin of the name.
That's, yes.
Rip Taylor.
Yes, that's it. And don't confuse me with Rip Torn, that son of a bitch.
Okay, you've got a problem with Rip Torn?
Well, I mean, he ripped off my name. And you know who is married to Geraldine Page? And it used to say on their apartment in New York,
I don't...
Page Torn.
Okay.
Ha ha ha! Joke's on you!
Rip, it sounds like you almost, it's like you run out of material and now you're just basically, anything that comes up, you just referencing whatever you've learned from IMDb or gossip in various
games. Have you seen Cheetah Rivera naked lately?
That's a complete non sequitur. Who am I seeing naked?
Norm Crosby is a dear friend of mine. He is one of the kings of comedy. He's still performing at 89 years old. And I don't know how he remembers his act. I had to write things down when I was in my 40s.
So you're in the 40s. Were you in your 40s in the 1940s? You're a little younger than that.
I was born in 1932 in Washington, D.C.
Washington. So your parents were diplomats? They were in the
my
government?
My parents are dead.
Well, that's obviously, that's probably, I knew that was probably true. That's interesting that instead of telling me anything about them, you just say that they're dead. I've got problems with my parents, too, man.
What are your problems with your parents?
Well, my dad...
They can't stand you work at some sort of a...
Okay, you asked it, and then you just steamrolled through it.
A garage, a bunch of guitars around here. What is this, Jimi Hendrix's mausoleum?
Look, man, I'm into music because I don't have anything that I can enjoy. I don't have anything left. I can't get drunk all the time, so I'm creative. I create this. I'm trying to be as nice as I can to you. Yeah, there's fucking guitars.
I think you should
play?
Get
do
drunk.
Do you play? What do you play?
I play the audience like a violin.
Okay, I don't believe that. I don't
you
believe that.
You should get drunk. Have you ever
do
had
you get walkouts?
Have you ever did Joey Heatherton's back house for Mai Tais?
Do people get tickets to your show when they've lost a bunch of money in Vegas and it's like a consolation prize?
I don't know why you're so angry at me. Clearly you're jealous. And speaking of jealous, Slappy White, he has been mad at me.
Is that
for
a real? Is that even a real guy? Is that a real guy?
Yes.
Or is that just, is that a good name? To
get out your Google box, Dr. Bot, and you can tell me if it's real.
It's
you
Mark.
Need to know
it's
your
Mark
elders.
What's the okay? You were in the Korean War. What was that like?
Yes.
Were you performing? You were a comic at the time.
Huh?
Were you a comic? Were you drafted or you volunteered for the Korean War?
We were drafted back in the day. We were young men, and they said the kimchi's free. Get over here on this aircraft carrier. Ding, ding, ding! All aboard.
It sounds like the life of Rip Taylor that really transpired is very similar to what a cartoon about the life of Rip Taylor would end up being.
I've been very blessed to have been employed in this business, this glorious business of show, for the last 7,800 years.
7,800 years.
Yeah, give or take.
But goes that back to the Bronze Age? Is that who were your guys then?
But
Gilgamesh?
Euripides came at me one night. I said, your toga... No go, Togo.
See, the pun doesn't work. That pun doesn't work. You had to change two different parts of the word.
These kids came in, and they just changed the industry to, you know, force people out, like me, out of the spotlight. And yeah, I'm mad about it. Barbara Streisand and little Johnny Travolta and Burt Reynolds,
John Travolta. He's been in the garage. We've had John Travolta on.
Is that the sort of a euphemism?
That's what I want to get into. Are you open with your lifestyle?
You want to get into about my your euphemisms?
I want to know about your personal life. Is this something you want to talk about?
Paul Lynn tried to get into my euphemism backstage at Hollywood Squares. I said, circle gets the square.
You were on Hollywood Squares. Were you the center square? Were you in one of the corners, quadrants? Did you feel like you were shamed or jealous that you weren't in the right placement?
Well, I was on the third tier on the top, which is not great. I was very angry about that because you have to climb up those stairs. Here's a little Hollywood inside scoop. There's no elevator at the Hollywood Squares, okay?
Yeah, I auditioned. I didn't get it when I was young. I auditioned in the 80s for Hollywood Squares.
You had to audition?
That was a lot of bitterness. Yeah, I auditioned. I did.
Honey, we did it as charity work.
I turned in a tape of an angry 15-minute set, and I was honestly loaded, and I could see why they didn't go with it. But I was
I'm baffled as to why that wouldn't want to be on daytime syndicated television in 1984.
I've always had a chip on my shoulder. I always felt like I didn't get the chance to do the Hollywood Squares thing. Maybe you can walk me through it.
A chip on your shoulder? I've got a bowl of guacamole on mine. Let's be friends.
All right, you had to do that. Apparently, guacamole and chip.
I don't think you know what comedy is, Junior.
Well, I don't know your kind of comedy, which it's just razzle dazzle. It's like your kind of comedy is like just it's the Rocky and Bullwinkle opening credits with the lights that go around the square.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That's it. Then the show never starts.
Yeah, but then everyone laughs the entire time, so I win. What is this Hollywood Squares BS you want to do?
Okay, thank you. That's the first thing you're actually staying on. You're staying on the topic.
I'm going to drink another one of my pile drivers.
Fuck, man. This is hard.
Is there a bathroom here, or do we dig a hole and pray?
Yeah, if you need a bathroom, yeah, we can break. Do you need the bathroom, or is that just a joke?
I'm fine. My diaper's not full yet. Continue.
All right, so if I was going to Hollywood Squares, I would set you up with something. If you're one of the guys on Hollywood, you or Paul Lind, one of those guys.
Yeah.
Did you get along, Paul Lind?
Paul Lind? Didn't know him very well.
Oh, it sounds like
I'm kidding. I would see him at Palm Springs every third Thursday. He'd throw a mudslide on my face, and we'd call it quits.
Wow, that's a bad anecdote. I can see why there's so much bullshit, because when you tell your real life story, it's actually just sad.
Who at this table has a star on the Hollywood Boulevard of Fame?
I don't know.
Dig, dig.
You have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
Yeah, I carry a picture of it.
I can imagine you somewhere on Gower, but I have a hard time believing it's actually on Hollywood Boulevard.
Can you believe I got passed over for the role, Michelle Lee's role in The Love Bug? I'm still mad about that.
I believe it. In fact, I wouldn't even cast you as the car.
Really? Well, then it would have made a lot more money.
Hong Kong. Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
If you were the Volkswagen.
I'm still waiting for your clever
I'm still trying to do it,
Hollywood
man.
Squares, do
this
it.
This is the only thing I've tried to do, connect with you. All right, so let me set you up with a Hollywood Squares thing.
Bring it.
Okay, so out of the last 45 presidents, five were blank. What?
On my last nerve, Richard Nixon gave me a stink eye that burned a hole in my skull.
Okay, that sucked. How about this one?
America first.
Is that your real slogan you're going with? America, are you all right? You're an all right guy?
I'm a patriot. I'm a patriotic old man.
That's disappointing, but I don't think there's a fan base that's to be let down. I think that's now just information that enters the ether.
What is your what's your answer, Sassy Pants?
What is the
45 presidents, blah, blah,
ask
blah.
Ask me a different question.
Oh, I ask you a question?
I guess, if you want. Okay, so now I'm Marin and I'm on Hollywood Squares.
Okay, here's what, and I'm Peter Marshall, a wonderful man, a consummate professional, and I eyes that glittered like topazes.
All right, great, fine,
anyway,
fuck.
Here's the question.
Are we going to do this?
I'll pull it out of my story bag, my prop purse.
Okay, he's got, it's covered in confetti.
Four out of five doctors say you shouldn't dental floss your teeth every day. What does the fifth doctor say you should do?
Okay, the fifth doctor, there's always, they say go for a second opinion, and I had a rash, and I went in for a second opinion, and I didn't like that either. You know, it's the it, what they want is it, you go in and it's like there's another there's adjacent to it. There's another guy in the hospital. And I want is just somebody to tell me that I'm going to die or I'm going to be OK. The in-between stuff is what I've got a problem with.
I'm now kind of understanding why I've never heard of you, why you do a business in a garage and why you're never going to be anywhere near Jan Murray or. Or Toadie Fields level of legend, or Ms. Phyllis Diller legend.
I am chain gargling these tobacco pills because you're stressing me out.
Nicorette? Do you take the Nicorette?
I have the little pills, the tobacco pills.
She used to be one of Diana Washington's assistants. I remember her.
Yeah, man.
Oh, why don't you smoke a big cigar?
I tried to get on Hollywood Squares, and honestly, I felt claustrophobic in there. I was surrounded by these guys, you know. It's not my. I was trying to be too real at the time.
Was Dr. Joyce Brothers there?
Usually, yes. Dr. Joyce. It's almost like.
Was it George Gobel era, or did you miss that exciting time?
I don't know who that is. Is that a Paul Gobel guy?
George Gobel is a legend.
Everybody you've mentioned is either a legend or an asshole. Is there any in between
territory?
He had
hair like a porcupine, but I loved him.
All right, let me give you another Hollywood Squares prompt, and let's see if this goes anywhere or if it just goes to the straight, if it just goes into another rip loop.
All right.
Okay, so...
ordering! Knock, knock, who's there?
All right, so the 48 states were admitted to the Union before 1959, except these two. What were they? 48 states, and then these two. Which ones
Arizona
were they?
Arizona and Kate Smith Bustle.
Really?
God bless America.
Yeah, to do a Kate Smith reference?
Oh, you know who that is?
Fuck me. Yes, I know Kate Smith. Everybody's grandma knows Kate Smith.
God bless America.
Is there anybody still left alive that's enjoying this material, or you're doing it for some kind of history books?
Honey, they said put some baking soda on it. I said the only baking soda I want is like a Coca-Cola cake.
I tried to be on Hollywood Squares, but honestly, there was a stool. When I auditioned for it, I had to sit on the stool because when I'm performing on stage, there's always a stool. And I was
guess what?
Yeah, I was sitting on the stool, and it looked too dynamic because it was just my knees in the shot. I was kind of up above the normal height of the person on the square. And it was intimidating. It was intimidating for me, and it was humiliating.
Every time Carol Channing performed, there was a stool on stage, too. She just take a dump, and someone had to clean it up.
Sometimes. Honestly, I walked into that
one. Honey, so did Tommy Toon one night in Tucson. He stepped right in her dump.
Do you have anything? Let me ask you this, Rip. We've got a few minutes left. Is there anything you want to plug? Are there any shows?
Oh, you know, I'd like to unplug the life support on me right now because this is killing me.
That was your chance to plug something, and you're using it for more razzmatazz.
I'll be at Raspberries in Keokuk, Iowa this Thursday. It's an 11 a.m. show. It's a brunchonet. It's a new matinee they have. I'll be on a riverboat outside of Amarillo, Texas. Don't ask. And I'm going to be there
Easter. Yeah, the club there sucks.
On Easter. And I'm going to be at Sparkle Johnny's in Aiken, South Carolina, the 3rd of March, if I make it.
Wait, Sparkle Johnny's, it used to be a mob club when I did it back in the 80s.
It sure was, and I wish it still was. I wish everything was still run by the mob, those nice Italian men.
The only coherent thing you said on the podcast is you were in support of La Cosa Nostra.
Listen to me.
Is that what we're learning from Rip Taylor?
What would you rather have, a check that might bounce or a nice big brown sack filled with $1 bills that had all been kissed by an Italian widow?
Rip Taylor, we've learned nothing. You've done an act that didn't make anyone laugh.
I disagree. I think you learned how comedy works.
How does comedy work? Will you tell me that? Will you boil it down at least?
Yeah, I'll tell you how it works.
What is your theory of comedy? Because what I do is an act, okay?
What you need to do is listen to this interview. I'm honest about it. You need to write down every word I said and pray to the sweet Lord Buddha that you have a better act next time.
Okay, so what is your theory of comedy then? Where do you go?
My theory of comedy is jazz it, sparkle, bang, pow,
okay.
Ordering, ding, 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 ha, 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 toupee, confetti, end.
You didn't even follow the rule of three. You just ran through it. There was no setup. There was no punchline.
Honey, I'm too old for the rule of three. I'm up to the rule of 19 now.
Rip Taylor, this sucks. this sucks. I'm going to put this out almost as like a legal duty because I have to put the interviews out at this point, no matter how bad they are. I don't know anything about you. I didn't like you when you came in, and now I like you even less because there's nothing engaging or human about you.
To be honest with you, I'm not even sure where I am. I feel like someone bricked me up inside a drywall somewhere.
Is it?
And I just am waiting to die.
Well, this is the garage, and it sounds like you're running out of references to the room. Does your act involve a lot of room jokes? Like, honey, jokes about what the wallpaper looks like?
It's just wall-to-wall carpeted, or is someone spill a roll of sandpaper?
That kind of joke, that never worked. That's like a Phyllis Diller joke that was rejected.
Speaking of Phyllis Diller getting rejected.
Okay. Speaking of it, you got something? You want to go there? Fuck. Let me ask you this, man. Are you gay? Are you gay? Are you gay?
Are you hitting on me? Security!
Fuck, man.
Speaking of getting fisted,
no one was talking about
that. Let me tell you about Thanksgiving at Salmoneo's house. Honey, it was me, Kay Ballard, a popcorn machine, a Desi Arnaz Jr. I blacked out for 3 days. I came to. My nipples were gone.
So
I'm going to go now. Bye.
No, you're
fucking. Confetti.
There's confetti in the face. Yes, he's throwing confetti again. I'm not done. Rip.
Happy days are here again. You got the job
Rip,
already,
come
kid.
On. Rip, come on. Don't walk out. Rip, come on. Come fuck. Man, that was rough. All right. Rip Taylor, I guess if anybody has eyes on him, he's just wandered out into Highland Park throwing confetti down the hill. Hold on, Rip, open the door. Fuck! Rip! Rip, come back! Rip, are we good? You're okay, and it looks like, ironically, he actually ran off like Daffy Duck, and maybe I actually do believe that Daffy Duck stole the act. Because that's almost exactly what Rip Taylor has done. Fuck. That's a first and a last. Rip Taylor, from an era of comedy that nobody needed or understands, I guess. Fuck. There it is, folks. You can tune in next week. Maybe I'll have on Big Bird. Maybe I'll have on fucking... And now it's just Miss Piggy. Screwy Squirrel is going to be on the program next time. Fuck. We just had what he was. It was just like an exclamation point that just showed up and then wilt. Not even an exclamation, like a exclamation point that just wilted, and none of it was good. Fuck, man. Honestly, we come from different. And I was trying to be open minded. Well, that's that. Fuck. I'm gonna eat some chili.
Wow, that's a fantastic number two. Mark Maron versus Rip Taylor. Rest in peace, Rip Taylor. We had no idea. Happy to send you out in style. And before we go, we actually have you guys voted. You voted online. This is your fault. Your second favorite song of 2019. This is Joe Biden's campaign song. It's a version of Jethro Tull's Aqualung. It's called Amtrak Lung.
Look, it's such an honor to have everybody here on board with Biden 2020. They dump some bad news on us like a scoop of chocolate right in the lap. We've had a good rollout of the campaign, and gosh darn it, just the last week, we slipped a little bit in the polls there in the CNN poll. We're just down 7 points. This touching stuff, you don't mind it. You see, I've had my hands on three of your shoulders here right now, talking to you here. Not one of you has said anything to the press. Let's try out some songs. I want songs that are going to steer right into it. I want a song that's going to help me spin this bad news cycle and turn it around. And look, if there's a good ice cream reference in there, let's do that too. What do you say? What do you say, sweetheart? You want to hit that here? Let me put my hand over your hand as we just press play on this one. That's it. It's a vinyl. Oh, you like the way it spins, huh? Biden 2020. There it is. Biden 2020. This goes out to the gals. Sitting on a park bench, eyeing little girls with bad intent. Oh, it's hot, yeah. Da 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 da. Scoops running down his nose. Sticky fingers smearing shabby clothes.
Now that's what a soft serve will do. Hey, Aqualung! Drying in the cold sun. Watching as the frilly panties run. Oh, we're running for president, right? Hey, Aqualung! Feeling like a dead duck. Tell me about it. Spitting out pieces of his broken lot. Hey, Aqualung! Biden 2020. Sun streaking cold, an old man wandering lonely. I know the feeling. Taking time, the only way he knows. With two scoops of Rocky Road. Leg hurting bad. As he bends down to pick a dog end, he goes down to the bog and warms his feet. I choose to read that in a sexual tone. Da-ba-da-da. Feeling alone. I know the feeling. The army's up the road. Right there in Arlington. Salvation a la mode. And a cup of Joe. Yeah, babe. Aqualung, my friend. Don't you start away uneasy. You poor old sod. You see, it's only... That stands for sodomite, right? Yeah, okay, good. That's good. We get the gay community. Got everybody into this big tent movement. You know what I mean? Do you still remember December's foggy freeze? There's more ice cream when the ice that clings onto your beard with screaming agony. When you touch your rat's killing glasspurus with deep sea diver sounds and the flowers bloom like madness in the spring. Oh, yeah, it's hot. Sun streaking cold, an old man wandering lonely. I've been there, taking time, the only way he knows. Stumbling between one ice cream scoop and a broad. They bends down to pick the dog in. He goes down to the bog and warms his feet. Again, you can have sex like that. Oh, feeling alone, the army's up the road. Salvation a la mode and a cup of Joe. Aqualung, my friend, don't just start away uneasy. You poor old sod, you see it's only me. Joe Biden. Yeah. Wow. You know what this band needs? Somebody playing flute. Am I wrong? You know, you say this, they said you did the other thing. I don't remember what I did 20 years ago. 20 years ago, I was swinging around. I had a dungeon, for God's sake. I had a dungeon downstairs in the townhouse. People say, hey, they cringe at that. You know, everybody was down there was one of them. Everybody was strapped in with Velcro, I tell you.
Oh, you got good hair there, baby. Let me get a sniff of that. What is that, vanilla? I tell you, I want to go down to the state of Georgia and just grab everybody. Does anybody, when's the last time Sherman burned Atlanta to the ground? I just want to go down. I want to touch it. I want to just gently push Atlanta to its knees. And if it wants to do something while it's down there, then let it go for it. You know what the abbreviation for Delaware is? I'll tell you exactly. D-E-D-E, D-E-D-E-D-E, D-E-D-E-D-E, D-E-D-E. Aqualung, my friend, don't you start away uneasy. You poor old sod, you see it's only me. I love getting the word sodomite into a campaign song. It's hateful, but it brings them in. Biden 2020. Hot Biden 2020. Daka da buka da. Sitting on a park bench. Eyeing little girls with bad intent. I don't regret anything I've done. in Congress are out. Snot's running down his nose. You got a cone, it's gonna leak. Sticky fingers smearing shabby clothes. Hey, Aqualung, drying in the cold sun, watching as the frilly panties run for president. Hey, Aqualung, woo! Feeling like a dead duck, spitting out pieces of his broken lung. Hey, Aqualung. Oh, yeah. Ticky, ticky, bop, bop. Anybody want to help me rub this one out? Da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, Aqualung. Biden 2020.
I like this one. I think it puts a good spin on some bad news that they forced on us in the last couple of weeks. Call this Jethro Tull and make sure he hasn't endorsed Bernie yet. And if he's got a couple of young gals with him, you know, as long as the paperwork's good, bring him on through. All right, everybody, let's go out there and win this unlosable election.
Please leave your message.
Hey, why don't we call it Amtrak Lung? Amtrak Lung, my friend, don't just start away uneasy.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.